Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Glad you could stop by today. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room over here at the art table as we make cloud dough. Last week's show, I shared some simple ideas to revamp your read aloud habit in 2012. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. A few shows back, I mentioned about goal setting and added a printable to help you audit and evaluate your play. Then look forward to more playful times this year. I talked really briefly about how we all needed to plan for play. So I turned to the expert, Dan Miller, author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, speaker and coach. And today we're talking about how we need a plan via a family mission statement. I hope you'll stick around. If you enjoy the show, leave feedback about the show on iTunes, and I'll be right back after this short break.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Dan Miller, coach, speaker, and author of the widely acclaimed 48 Days to the Work You Love and No More Mondays. He writes regularly for a whole host of print media, places like Success Magazine, AARP, and the Zig Ziglar Newsletter. Dan Miller has been seen in places like CBS, The Early Show, and Fox Business News with The Dave Ramsey Show, to name a few. Dan is active in helping individuals redirect careers, evaluate new income streams, and achieve balanced living. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. My delight to be your guest today.
We've heard of mission statements and core values for businesses. We may even have read the one at our company that we work at, and I've heard you talk about personal mission statements before and goal setting as the key to successful living. As parents who want to make the most of playtime, we must have a plan and set this as a goal. So it seems right to know, how exactly do we plan for play? Why should we create a family mission statement?
You know, just like in any other area of our lives, I think if we just wander into it, we'll get real general, mediocre results. I think that great success, high achievement at any level, you know, comes from really deciding in advance what it is we want to happen. Now, that doesn't mean to take all the fun and spontaneity out of our lives and certainly time with our children, but it does mean to decide in advance, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? We developed a family mission statement years ago when my children were little. We had a lot of fun doing it together, and we really did do it together, so that we agreed on what our family mission statement would be. And what it did, it then gave us a third party by which to judge any activities that took place in the house. So if there was criticism or anger or backbiting or physical abuse or whatever happened, it was not, that's not allowed in this house, I'm the daddy, and you can't do that. Mm. But we would simply go together to the mission statement and say, now look, we agreed on this together, correct? Yes. Did what just happened embrace this mission statement, or did it conflict with that? So our children grew up with this external agreed-upon parameter by which we would judge the activities in our household. And it's interesting to see how they've carried that on in their own houses now that they're grown adults as well, obviously believing in the value of that.
So what do you think are the essential things that we should include in a family mission statement?
It should include, you know, how we're going to relate to one another. You know, what kind of activities are acceptable? What kind of interactions are acceptable? Much like you would have a mission statement for a business, so that you have some kind of a guideline by which then you can look at any activity and say, you know, did it in fact conflict with or embrace this mission statement? So if McDonald's decides that somebody says, well, we ought to sell pizza, they ought to be able to go back to their mission statement and say, well, in as much as that's a good idea, it doesn't line up with our mission statement. When you have a family mission statement, it does the same kind of thing. If somebody appears to be greedy or self-centered, the mission statement ought to help correct that activity.
So can you think of certain parenting values that you've noticed that have been put into family mission statements?
We included a lot of things that I see reappearing in our children's mission statements. Things like we used to have attitude adjustments in our house. Rather than a lot of severe punishment, we would have what we called attitude adjustments. So a child who misbehaved may be asked to go to their room and spend 10 minutes listening to Zig Ziglar or Brian Tracy audio tape, which talks about good attitude and positive thinking, and then to come out and give a brief report on that. So we use those kind of things, not just the absence of anything or the intrusion of harsh punishment, but the replacement of that activity with something really good. So it's easy to do that, and that was really kind of our model for a mission statement with our children. You know, let's just replace the negative behavior, negative thinking, negative activity with something positive. And it helped us create a model, again, that I see them replicating in their own families.
Today, I'm talking to Dan Miller, the creative thinker and president of 48days.com. His blog and newsletter is updated regularly. And Dan also has a weekly podcast along with an active forum at 48days.net. This might be the first time families have gotten together to discuss something like this that needs to be formalized and actually put up in their home. It kind of feels a little daunting and overwhelming. How do parents prepare for this meeting so that the meeting's not hijacked or thrown off course?
That's a great question, because we don't want it to become so academic that it becomes distasteful. And even in a corporate setting, often this process is seen in that way. It should be something fun, something that really you do agree on together. Now, we looked for little sentences out of magazines or things we saw on TV or even things from their games, just phrases that would make it fun. And we were not looking for something. You don't want to make it something that is going to be an encyclopedia. You want it to be two or three sentences that you can all agree on. It may seem pretty generic, but you want to make it as specific as possible, things that really mean something to you. I know in my personal mission statement, when one of my sons was about 17 years old, he was doing a project through school where he had to review a biblical character. And he chose Solomon. Well, as little kids, we all grew up knowing that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. But as we started researching that and really looked in the Bible what it talked about, Solomon never asked for wisdom. He asked for an understanding heart. For me, that was a really profound moment to recognize if that's the key to wisdom, then I want to have that be part of my life. So I integrated those two words, an understanding heart, into my mission statement. Now, again, from an outside perspective, that may seem pretty generic, but to me it means a lot. So you want to work on it as a family, so the phrases that you end up with mean something to that particular family, even if it is not that specific to somebody looking in from the outside.
Oh, that's a really powerful story, how you really managed to work that in. For the skeptics who haven't written a resolution perhaps yet, or perhaps in a long time, what's been the benefit of you having a mission statement that you could share?
It gives a direction. I see so many people who are, in essence, just wandering around. And then at some point, they look at their lives in retrospect and looking back. But it allows you the freedom of really deciding in advance what kind of a life you want to live. A lot of people think that resolutions or mission statement or goals somehow remove the spontaneity from life. You know, they want to be free spirits. They want to get up and just kind of do whatever, you know, seems fun or important at the time. Well, that kind of sounds okay, but those kind of people really never accomplish much of significance, I've found. So, again, without trying to create an artificial structure that we don't want, it just allows for a focus. So it's a release of our best skills and our best efforts if we have a resolution in advance. You know, one of the things that I just discovered, a study that was done recently where they were interviewing people who were close to death. And in talking to them, the biggest regret that these people had was that they had lived a life that was not authentic. They had lived a life according to the expectations of others. And that's what a person is set up for if they haven't decided what their goals are, what their resolutions are. They set themselves up to make themselves susceptible to living a life that somebody else wants them to live rather than one that's truly authentic.
Wow. So we should be writing a mission statement whatever time we have with our family, whether we have children that are born or still in the tummy and not here yet, or whether we have young children that are running around. Would you say that would be something that you would suggest?
Yes, absolutely. It makes no matter what age they are. If somebody is newly married and does not yet have children, I would encourage a family mission statement. If there are young children in the home, certainly then, but it really doesn't matter when. I mean, our children are grown and have children of their own at this point, but my wife and I still use the family mission statement that we adopted when our children were small as a guideline for our lives even yet today.
It sounds as if when you have a mission statement that there's a lot of conversation that's going on, and maybe it takes time over weeks and months to kind of gather these ideas together. I guess we shouldn't think too hard about it as well. So it's kind of finding the balance between gathering as much information and being as spontaneous as you need to be.
Yes, I would encourage it to be a continuing process. This is not something to be carved in stone, but it's to give you a guiding direction for this particular time. So I would encourage a family to sit down and perhaps spend 2 hours just having fun, talking through the initial process, getting something down on paper. But then come back to it a couple weeks later. Come back to it 30 days later and ask yourself, okay, is this really true? Because once you start thinking about it in that light, it'll become more real. And you'll start to think about, oh, I want this included. Or, no, this doesn't really mean anything. We can take that out. I mean, this is almost like creating an objective for a resume. You know, I see resumes where it says, I want to be part of a future-oriented company where I can use my skills to help the company accomplish their goals as I achieve my own. Something like that, you know, it sounds wonderful and it means absolutely nothing.
Yes.
It would apply to anybody who breathes. So you don't want a mission statement that's like that. You want it to be specific enough that it really means something for you, the individuals. But get something down, then come back to it. And then I come back to mine at least once every 6 months. Anyway, even though I really know it, I understand it, I believe it, I breathe it, I still come back every 6 months or so and give myself the opportunity to really look at it, perhaps refine it a little bit, restate it, shorten it. I've frankly, I've shortened my personal mission statement over the years to where it's very short at this point, because I really understand what all that means. But it's an ongoing process, and I would encourage families to view it as such.
Brilliant. You've given us a lot of food for thought there about family mission statements. Where can we find out more about you and your work?
Well, I appreciate that. I have been creating resources to help people get clarity in their lives for a long time now. We have a lot of resources at 48days.com that has a lot of our printed resources, audio resources there. There's lots of information there. And then you mentioned a little earlier our community at 48days.net. And that's what it is. It's a social networking community, but it's not just a place to tell people what you had for breakfast this morning. It's a place where people are really committed to figuring this thing out, how to have meaningful, purposeful, and profitable lives. So it's a community of about 11,000 people at this point. There's no cost for membership, but people share ideas and challenge each other and give advice to each other to more quickly accelerate their own and others' success.
It's brilliant. Today I've been talking to Dan Miller, author, speaker, and president of 48days.com about family mission statements. Thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Delight to be with you, Melissa.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Diane Levin. I'm a professor of education at Wheelock College in Boston and the co-author of So Sexy, So Soon. And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. It was really exciting interviewing Dan Miller. I'm a big fan and listen to his podcast every week. Find it really inspiring, actually, to hear how people are making changes and moving when they're in tight spots. If you have feedback about this Dan Miller interview, thoughts on family mission statements, or want to share your mission statement that you've already done, do get in touch. We're on Facebook at Raising Playful Tots, and we're on Twitter as @playactivities, which is all one word. And you can always comment on the show notes, and that would be raisingplayfultots.com/83. It's always good to have some inspiration in our lives. And talking of inspiration, it's time for some Pinterest finds. This is a new section that will appear from time to time where I can share some interesting early childhood finds from Pinterest.com. Sometimes we just need a little nudge in a direction to remember a forgotten activity or try just a new activity. And Pinterest really has been a big inspiration for not just my early childhood play, but just kind of parenting in general. If you're new to Pinterest, pop on over to the show notes and I'll leave a link to Cara from SimpleKids.net's how to join, who to follow, why it's really good, and all the inspiration that she has there. I'd really recommend it to you for those days when you are in a play rut, where you want some inspiration. We all need some inspiration in our lives. And it's a really good place that you can just share things and save things to find when you want them at another time. So anyway, here are my top three links that I found this week. Okay, you're at a restaurant and you're waiting and waiting and you have the children with you and you're wondering what to do. Well, I have an answer. Why don't you use that water bottle that you've got, that latte cup that you have, the two straws, and ball up that little piece of paper that used to be part of the straw, and you have a ball, you have a goal, and you have a game. I found this pin via Maria Lapandolce. Although the idea came from www.allfortheboys.com. Second pin that I found was lightning bugs, a creative art display using band-aids or plasters, and that was found via Kelly Ines. Although the idea originally came from my good friend Ali of notimeforflashcards.com. The third pin is, why not let your kids decorate the hanging lights that you have in the house? This would be a really nice Valentine's Day decorative activity for your family dinner table. Valentine hearts. It's a really cute idea, something that they can do with you and you could do it together, and it's really nice to just kind of hang from those lights. I found this pin via Joe Centigraph, although the idea originally came from www.happyclippings.com. And the post was, say it with love, paper, heart, garland. I'll leave the links for all of those three pins in the show notes for you to have a look at. I hope you've had a fun week of play activities. Maybe you got a chance to do some reading aloud with your tots this week. The play order is still up on this website, and now Dan Miller is giving you the how-to for the planning. I'm really excited to see what you guys have to say. Well, we come towards the end of the show. Thanks for listening to the show, and it's always good to hear from you guys. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 83. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.